Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. This past week, a Catholic bishop in New York, Bishop DiMarzio, said this, and these are the words of the bishop, they are not my words. In his zealous support for abortion, Barack Obama has used his position not to help mothers and children in difficult circumstances, but instead, Obama has been an advocate for that which is shameful and criminal in the eyes of God. The bishop is saying that President Barack Obama of the United States of America is an advocate for that which is shameful and criminal in the eyes of God. Brothers and sisters, in November 2012, about half of American Catholics joined forces with the pornography industry, with the abortion industry, in providing electoral support for the candidates of the shameful and criminal culture of death, which includes pornography, abortion, same-sex marriage, euthanasia, and so on. How, we may ask, did these pretend Catholics ever get so disconnected from Jesus Christ so as to implicate themselves directly in all these horrific evils, which now include even the religious persecution of faithful Christians and disregard for the First Amendment to our U.S. Constitution? How and why do they continue to pose as Catholics, to pose as disciples of Jesus Christ, deceiving and scandalizing, first of all, themselves, but also their families, their parishes, the lay faithful? How, in another way to put this, how did our church become so divided? Let me try it from another angle. Did anyone here have a chance to see the Super Bowl game between the Ravens and the 49ers? Well, I assume many of us did. I saw myself just a good part of the first half. The ads, however, it seems at the Super Bowl are generally worse and worse every year. And to be honest, because of the ads, if we're honest, the Super Bowl is no longer fit for family viewing. This year was interesting because, as some commentators have pointed out, while the majority of the ads seem to be directed to folks for whom the cultural values of selfishness, total sexual freedom, and hedonism are just accepted as givens, a couple of the ads, just a few, including one by Budweiser, another one by Ram Trucks, which glorified the farmer, they seem to be aimed at folks like, I assume, most of us here at Mass, who value God and family and who value self-sacrifice and country. So these divisions, which I mentioned earlier, which clearly divide the church internally between, if you can believe it, on the one hand, the nominal pretend Catholics who are allied with the pornographers, the pro-abortionists, pleasure seekers, and on the other hand, the real Catholics, the faith-filled, hardworking, pro-life families, people who sacrifice. This is all playing out also in our wider culture, as the Super Bowl ads so well illustrate. George Weigel, who's the biographer of Pope John Paul II, he says that Catholicism in America, our Catholic faith, has been infiltrated by a hedonistic, pleasure-seeking culture which has clearly become very hostile to our faith. And as a result, many people who think of themselves as Catholics, they have mindlessly bought into, they've learned to accommodate an environment, even an almost daily lifestyle, which has become deathly toxic. Now, just think back on those Super Bowl ads. And because of the degradation of our culture, here's the situation. Real Catholics can no longer simply sit back and assume that decent lives lived in conformity with the prevailing cultural norms will somehow convey the faith of the martyrs to their children and their grandchildren. And that's because the culture itself is outright hostile to everything that we believe. In George Weigel's view, what he calls recreational Catholicism, by which he means Catholicism as a traditional leisure time activity, absorbing maybe only 60 or 90 minutes of one's time on a weekend, recreational Catholicism is over. And in its place, full-time Catholicism, a Catholicism that, as the Second Vatican Council taught, infuses all of life and calls everyone in the church to holiness and mission. Full-time Catholicism is the only possible Catholicism that will cut it in the 21st century. Evangelical Catholicism of the future, according to George Weigel, in involving all of us, is a Catholicism of radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism. Evangelical Catholics put friendship with the Lord Jesus at the center of everything, personal identity, relationships, every one of their activities. Evangelical Catholics strive for fidelity despite the wounds of sin and do so through a daily encounter with the Word of God in the Bible and through a regular embrace of Christ through frequent reception of the sacraments. Evangelical Catholics experience dry seasons and dark nights, just like everyone else. But they do live through these experiences by finding their meaning in a deeper conformity to the cross of Christ, on the far side of which, on the far side of the cross, is the unmatchable joy of Easter, the experience of which gives the people of the church the courage to be real Catholics. Evangelical Catholics measure the quality of their discipleship by whether and to what extent they give to others what they have been given, by the degree to which they deepen others' friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ or bring others to meet the unique Savior of the world. St. Paul, today in his letter to the Corinthians, our second reading, Paul is basically in this letter, he's worried about divisions in the Christian community at Corinth. Now, divisions between those who are faithful and those who are not faithful was a problem we discover even among the first generation of Christians. And we know from our own experience today that divisions are always a terrible threat to the church. Not only at election time, but almost every week we can read sometimes of groups who call themselves Catholic, but go around giving press conferences in which they disagree with very foundational Catholic teaching. Jesus knew divisions like we have today would be a problem. They seem to have been a constant threat to the church. And it must be that the human factor in each one of us can make it hard for us to stay united. But Jesus has given us an instrument of unity, and that instrument is in his church, the magisterium of the church, the teaching authority of the church, which he gave to Peter and to the apostles and to their successors. The apostles spread his message in the first Christian generation. They appointed successors who, under the guidance and protection of the Holy Spirit, continued the tradition. That apostolic succession has lasted to our own day, which is how we know that what we believe and what we teach is the true gospel. It's the same gospel. It's the whole gospel that Paul was preaching and teaching to the Corinthians. What we believe about Jesus Christ and following him has nothing in common with politicians or with shifting political platforms or shifting ideas. We do not have a bunch of teachings to select from depending on our evolving lifestyles, depending upon what we happen to like or dislike, depending upon what's convenient or inconvenient. How could a church ever stay united if that were the case? The Catholic Church is not an invention of men. The Catholic Church is the body of Christ, a gift to us from Jesus Christ, which we are obliged to protect and to defend. Now, some people might think that to be a Catholic is to have our human freedom cramped in some way. But the opposite is really the case. We are actually freer than anyone else, precisely because we know what we are here for. We know who created us. We know why we were created. We know where we're going, and we know how to get there. Now just think about it. Who is freer to go faster and farther? The traveler who has a map, a compass, a destination, or an aimless wanderer? Which is freer to arrive safely in harbor? The boat guided by a lighthouse, or the boat guided merely by the moods and wits of the captain? Who is freer to enjoy a healthy life? The person who knows the laws of nutrition, tries to follow them, or the couch potato who just eats what he feels like whenever he feels like it? God has given us a great gift by giving us a church that teaches the truth about the human person and about faith and morals with his own authority. And if you want to climb a mountain, you have to find firm handholds and footholds. Otherwise, you'll never get anywhere. The teachings of the church, for example, which are foundational with respect to the dignity of the human person and having to do with the free practice of our faith given to us by Jesus Christ, these are all like our handholds and footholds. Church teachings free us to move forward securely in the adventure of life. And we will never, ever become lost. We will never, ever become advocates for what is shameful, even criminal, in the eyes of God. Evangelical Catholics, all of us here are now in mission territory. Every day we are now in mission territory. Every decision we take, we must seek to make in the light of and informed by our faith in Jesus Christ and in his church, and in the light of God's will. You've heard me speak before of George Washington, who I consider was so great. He was not, for most of his life, until his death, he was not a Catholic. But George Washington was absorbed every single day with doing his best to know the will of God and to try to follow the will of God in his life. Faithful Catholics, the evangelical Catholics we're talking about, would never, never sell their souls. They would never sell their votes for personal gain. They would never sell their votes under pressure, whether the pressure is coming from an employer or a trade union, or even under pressure from the government itself. We don't do things like that. We follow our consciences formed by Jesus Christ and formed by his church. What are we about? Evangelical Catholics do their best. We're all human beings. We're all imperfect. We do our best to offer to others the gospel, the possibility of friendship with Jesus Christ. Evangelical Catholics go into the world in witness to the Christ who reveals both the face of the merciful Father and the truth about humanity, the truth about who a man and a woman is. Strong truths, generously lived, that is evangelical Catholicism. Jesus Christ is calling you and me today to be living in our lives.